From cowboys to shrimpers, astronauts to farmers, and roughnecks to loggers. For true Texans, there's only one place to celebrate the Lone Star State. That's right here with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, my friends, government folk have lost the public service ethos over the last couple of generations. We've talked about this before. This has happened at every level, very noticeably at the local government levels, becoming arrogant betters in the case of some, especially elected people, and antagonistic to the public they're supposed to serve. The Tarrant County Appraisal District is a good example of all that's gone wrong. Now, we've covered this story. There's new developments in it, and due to great reporting at the Texas Scorecard, we'll catch you up to date on it. And it really does show what's gone wrong generationally. I've talked about it before, the reason that government jobs always paid a little less, but they got a pension and stuff that private sector people didn't, and all kinds of other protections. And yet now in almost every community, government people are the highest paid people, among the highest paid people, if not the highest paid people, whether they be school superintendents or whatever and other administrators. Everything has turned over backwards. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs. And my friends, if you're a trucker, you need to use them as your person, your firm for your annual testing. And if you have an accident and all those things where you got to do all that, do the paperwork, they take care of you. And fleet owners, they'll take care of you and help you manage that new clearinghouse you have to have with the DOT with all your drivers. Reach the best in compliance at alliedcompliance.com. Elections officials, are they really being harassed out of their jobs across Texas? If so, do they, maybe not the same ones, but maybe others, I don't know, do they bear some of the responsibility? We'll talk about that. It's Defeat Liz Cheney Day in Wyoming, despite her getting almost $1 million from Texans, including W., former president, and Karl Rove, and others. And we've got much more in the campaign stack, so we need to just dive in head first, my friends. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, my friends, it is a great day to be a Texan. I am surrounded today by gremlins, and I mean just all kinds of unrelated issues. And so if we get through all this, we'll go have a glass of bourbon, a little bourbon neat. How's that? Media advisory. Well, this is for all of you. The friends, our friends at Americans for Prosperity are taking their tour, their True Cost of Washington tour, to Lubbock. They'll be there tomorrow working with the Bolton Service Station on 19th Street. I think that's the one way outside the loop on West Loop. And maybe all the Bolton stations, I'm not sure, but they're going to roll back the price of gasoline for a while tomorrow to $2.38, which was the average price per gallon on the first day of the Biden administration. Of course, frankly, it's quite a bit higher than it was in Lubbock. Lubbock's always much lower than the average price, and most of Texas is always lower. But anyway, that's going on Wednesday, the 17th of August, and they're having a little presser deal that Bolton's out on 19th Street at noon. But I think it just says that they're going to roll back the Americans for Prosperity Texas, roll back the price of gasoline for Bolton Service customers in Lubbock, do the high cost of Washington's bad policies and the pain of runaway inflation's calling families and small business owners. Anyway, it's AFP Texas, Americans for Prosperity. Corsicana City Council moves forward with no new revenue tax rate. That's right, the effective rate. They can do it. City Councilman Chris Woolsey said by using the no new revenue rate, because Corsicana's taking the lead in Navarro County for responsible budgeting and property tax relief. Piece by Brad Johnson at the Texan out on that yesterday. And it says, Brad writes, the no new revenue rate means city tax bills in Corsicana should remain largely level, with some exceptions occurring in both directions depending on individual appraisal changes and exemptions. And with those exemptions, such as the 10% homestead taxable value increase cap, many homeowners may actually see a decrease. Even if it's the no new revenue rate, which is steady, they might get a decrease due to that, the increase in the cap on the homestead. Anyway, they are doing it. They're talking about, look, we can do this. We don't plan on bringing any more money, property tax revenue, than the last year. We've had bright sales taxes, and we've had good money there, and they can do it. Everybody else, all these other people you talk to, oh, no, the city would just shut down. Just crazy. You're supposed to gain efficiencies with scale as you grow, but as you see, folks, in a lot of cities, that when you have growth and everything, it's all good. They don't. They just keep turning up the wants. Not the needs, but the wants. ERCOT has named Pablo Vegas their new CEO. I guess it is legal. I don't know. They had an urgent closed-door meeting yesterday. They had a big public meeting scheduled for today, but they called an urgent meeting, went immediately into closed executive session, and then came out later saying they'd ratify what they discussed at the regular meeting. Now, if they actually took a vote in that closed meeting, it's probably a violation of open meetings law. I don't know. Paul Foster, chairman, said the urgent meeting was held because Pablo Vegas' name had leaked to others within the industry and the media, which posed a risk to the agreement between ERCOT and Vegas. They were working out a deal for him to be the new CEO. And they had 107 applicants around the country. PUC Chairman Peter Lake said Pablo Vegas will help both ERCOT and the PUC as they work making major changes to the grid. Everything about Pablo's exceptionally is an exemplary track record at major organizations and a highly technical background that will serve this organization well. Lake said Pablo is the right leader at the right time to address the complex grid and the dynamic mix of resources we have. He's worked with utility power providers for the past 17 years, including a two-year stint with AEP, American Electric Power, which serves most of South and West Texas. Most of his time, however, has been spent with both AEP and Indiana-based NiSource in Ohio. And apparently he's excited to return. This is a big plum job for a guy that's a doer and wants to fix it. And I hope they went out. I think the ERCOT board members I don't think much of the PUC that the members there that Abbott's put on, they just seem like a bunch of, you know, inner Austin functionary types. But the ERCOT board's got some powerful people on it who know how to run businesses. And I hope they've gotten somebody great. It really sounds like he has a good background. Four died in a car crash that left three vehicles on fire in Terrell County. NewsWest 9 reports, according to DPS, troopers stopped a Nissan Titan on U.S. 90 east of Sanderson. As they walked up to the truck, the driver sped off and they began in a pursuit. It entered the truck. A Titan entered Sanderson, turned north on U.S. 285, continued its speed, and going down the highway, then it drove in the opposite lane, hit a Ford F-150 head-on. The driver of the Titan, who is unidentified at this time, and a rear passenger, 42-year-old Zuniga Roque Flores, died in the crash. Front passenger of the Titan, 28-year-old Myrna Noemi Rodriguez Lopez, is in stable condition. Driver and passenger of the F-150, 23-year-old Carlos Enrique Rico and 19-year-old Jesus Garcia, were pronounced dead at the scene. Totally innocent in this case, lost their lives. And a guy driving one of those hot Kia Stingers had his vehicle destroyed, 53-year-old, but he's okay. They had an illegal alien trapped for more than 12 hours in a train car in San Antonio. He was in there from Guatemala. They heard him yelling. The load shifted in it, and he was caught. They had to spend a heck of a lot of time to get him out. They think he was in there for 12 to 14 hours. Stuff just going on everywhere all the time. That wasn't even a whole group. Just one guy got in the train car, and then the load shifted. He was pinned in, and they had to go use your tax dollars to get him out. Of course, he's in the country illegally. We'll be back in a moment with more on Pratt on Texas, my friends. Stay with us.
Pratt on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
Laugh if you must, but friends know that I had a hard time finding words to express how positive my experience was going to the dentist. Not just any dentist, but Dr. Sylvia Soniga of Dental Care. Money matters too, and it cost us less than half of my lowest quote at home to visit Dr. Zuniga Dental Care in Costa Rica. That included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and a private driver, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. In fact, I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years. The work was the best I've ever had, the attention to detail more than you'll get here. If you have expensive dental challenges or just need crowns or cosmetic work or implants, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
He's a bullfrog with a bullhorn, and he's not afraid to use it. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Hey, today in 1931, the 16th of August, the largest recorded earthquake to date occurred near Valentine in Jeff Davis County. Down, that's all in far west Texas. That's just to the west of the Davis Mountains out there. It was a 6.0 in the Richter scale, so it was a tremendous earthquake. And it's why when we see a lot of overblown stuff about that area, well, there's oil stuff now, they're having quakes. I remind you that that entire area is a very well-known fault system under it and has a history of earthquakes. And certainly 6.0 is a big one. It's also the date in 1828 when we were still the state of Coahuila y Texas in Mexico. John McMullen and James McGloin received a contract from the Mexican government to settle 200 families on the left bank of the Nueces River. It was the Irish colony, and they called it, of course, the city there, San Patricio. It was named San Patricio de Ibernia, St. Patrick of Ireland. And they were there. They were part of the Texas Revolution. Bunch of them were still there. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, providing surveillance, security witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, employee background checks, and more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. Well, a story we've been following through various media outlets, mostly from the Rio Grande Valley, written up today by David Vasquez, who's a new writer for the Texas Scorecard based in the Rio Grande Valley. He's a native there. I think he's a UT Austin grad. Peñetas Mayor Rodrigo Lopez revealed Sunday he'd quietly resigned last Thursday. He's pleaded guilty to a federal theft charge after he was indicted on June 1st. We've talked about that before. He's the latest Hidalgo County public official to be convicted on corruption charges, admitted to aiding and abetting the La Jolla ISD employee in defrauding the school district. Despite pleading guilty, it remained unclear until Sunday whether he was still the mayor. Well, that caused Senator Hinojosa, Chuy Hinojosa McAllen, to write a letter to the city council wanting to know, is he still mayor or not? Hinojosa ultimately received a response from Lopez himself, who revealed he quietly resigned on Thursday. And in the letter, he made no mention of his indictment or guilty plea. And this stuff just goes on and on across the state, particularly in the Rio Grande Valley. I should rephrase that. The Democrat Party dominated and Democrat machine dominated Rio Grande Valley. Is that better? I'm writing a column on this next subject, so I'm not going to flush it all out today, but I think it'll probably be my column in the September issue of the Buffalo Gap Roundup News and may appear in other places too. There were two pieces. Let's start and then go back in time. KSAT in San Antonio had a piece out. Bexar County elections official says she and her staff are, quote, under attack. Well, she went to the Bexar County Elections Board meeting Monday, yesterday, and her name is Jackie Callanan. She's the chief elections person, elections administrator for the elections office in San Antonio in Bexar County. And what she did was she read a story that I have in my stack from the Fredericksburg Standard over in Gillespie County. And in that story, you got Anissa Herrera, Gillespie County Elections Administrator. She quit. Now, this lady says the whole staff has resigned. That's not actually what the Fredericksburg story, Standard story said, but the lady over in Gillespie County said, after the 2020 election, I was threatened, I've been stalked, I've been called out on social media. It's just a dangerous misinformation. Okay, well, actually, so you go back over here, and by the way, the new chairman of the Bexar County Republican Party has the right thing. He said he respects the Bexar County chief, Callinan, said, I'm looking forward to this full engagement with Jackie, see how the elections run, work with her, and help her best I can to assure any concerns the population has regarding the quality and fairness and the respect that our elections process deserves. And that's very possible, as long as she's willing to actually work with party chairman and other people. Some of these people bring this on themselves with their attitude, and she's one of those people, because she thinks people that call, and she says, we're under attack, threats, meanness, ugliness. This is back in Bexar County, the lady there, Jackie Callinan. She told that to KSAT before the meeting. And she says, being, our office is drowning in frivolous open records requests. They're going to hire more people. There's a group wants to see every mail ballot application, every mail ballot. Okay, fine. Honey, you work for government. Get over that. See, this is where you get into, is this a terrible unfounded reaction to some of these elections office people? Or is it brought upon them by their own arrogance? And I think Jackie Callinan in San Antonio is one of those people, because I read her in the press a lot, who tends to do the knee jerk that, well, all you people, you don't know how it works. And look, I've been in the rooms with these people. Okay. I served on the ad hoc committee to make Texas compliant with HAVA under Secretary of State at the time. Other than guy from the Secretary of State's home county, Parker County, I was the smallest county in there. Wasn't very many of us, maybe 10 or 12. I've been in these. I've chaired the committee to buy new elections equipment when the laws changed back there and made us get all this electronic equipment so we could serve ADA, Americans with Disability Act deals. By the way, a lot of people seem to have forgotten where all this came about. It had to be having equipment that was that could serve, I mean, all the way down to somebody who's completely quadriplegic but can vote through a blow tube through air pressure. And you have to have all that stuff under that HAVA Act, Help America Vote Act. So anyway, I'm telling you, a lot of these folks like Jackie Callinan, though, often talk about how great everything is and it's all good and it's always good. And these ignorant people out there, let me tell you, I agree. There are a lot of ignorant people out there making all kinds of claims. And to me, it's sad because a lot of them clearly, despite the fact they love the country, they want to fix things, they haven't even done their homework or they're not competent enough to understand it. They don't even really understand how the physical process works. They make claims that are ridiculous. Having said, and I understand the frustration for these elections officials, but having said that, I also constantly read in the media how these people just, they don't get it, blah, 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 blah. They don't even try to work with people. And I've been in the room, and I'll tell you, a lot of these people, they don't know how it works either. What happens is they find a really good vendor they like with a salesman that they really like. Maybe it's Heart Inner Civic or ES&S or somebody. And everything that person says is gospel and nothing can be questioned. I'm sorry. I've been in the rooms with them. It's just human nature. And then I see those kind of people. Oh, there cannot be any cheating. There can't be anything wrong. Nothing, you know, and it's just bull. And that gets back to the story in the Fredericksburg Standard by Brent Burgess. Threats, stalking lead to election office resignation. And it says that they've had a lot of people in her office, wave of resignations in the elections departments left the county officials wondering how to successfully conduct upcoming elections. They're going to contact Secretary of State, try to get some help. She's confident about the county's equipment and integrity. Fine, okay. But it's not right. She said she's been threatened. She said, after the 2020 election, I was threatened. I've been stalked. I've been called out on social media. It's just dangerous misinformation. Well, first of all, being called out, you shouldn't have the job you have if being called out on social media matters to you at all. Okay, number one, that's just nothing. That's nothing. But if you've been threatening, stop. By the way, they in all these stories, they act like it's still happening. But if you actually read, they're all talking about this stuff happened way back in 2020, right after in the heat of the election. And there's no proof provided by any of these people. The woman in Bexar County is saying how bad it is, but they provide no proof whatsoever. No evidence of any of this stuff, of anything other than maybe people being rude to them. And that's not necessarily the case. I just want to point out that most of what led to legitimate concerns about the election in Texas came out of elections offices and local governments themselves, inventing 24-hour voting, inventing drive-through voting. And the way they behaved over decades, often trying to keep the party officials in a primary, for example, out of the count room, even though it's their election, they're the elected official. A lot of these people have brought a lot of this upon themselves and with the way they deal with the public who are asking questions. It's no excuse to be rude, but that's the truth.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
Join us for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets now on sale at LubbockSportsman.com. LubbockSportsman.com. True Texans, I'll see you there.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans. Employers are looking for solutions, and my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution.
With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Some claim to cover Texas. Here's a man who proves his claim daily. It's your Texas political swami, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to be with you. Glad you're with me. A lot of gremlins today. It's been frustrating. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services, AlliedCompliance.com. Here's how I worded it in the opening. Government folk have lost the public service ethos over the last couple, of the last couple of generations at every level, becoming arrogant betters in the case of some, especially elected people, and just antagonistic to the public that they serve. The Tarrant County Appraisal District is a good example of all that's gone wrong. Now, we've covered this thanks to reporting from the Texas Scorecard and the Texan.news. In the past, well, there's a big update on it, and I want to bring it to you right from Aaron Anderson's piece, because it shows what's really gone wrong. I mean, forget the fact that the update is they only got a slap on the wrist for what they did wrong. That's bad enough. The fact that they did these things, we see this all the time. It's sort of like those elections administrators, the ones who are furious just when somebody asks a question or questions something. You know, not because somebody came down and was rude and out of line and doesn't get it and won't listen and all that. We see this all the time with local government. The idea of public service just doesn't exist in its original sense anymore. So the story at the Scorecard, slap on the wrist for Tarrant Appraisal District bureaucrats who targeted tax consultants. Some of you will remember this story. On Friday, two Tarrant County Appraisal District employees at the center of the scandal received slaps on the wrist in the form of temporary suspensions as punishment for targeting local realtor and tax consultant Chandler Crouch with misleading complaints that have since been dismissed. He's a guy that's helped thousands correct their appraisal and save on property taxes and done it free. He's a professional, but he's done it free. He's known all across there. He's helped everybody, I mean, tons of them, free of charge. An overflow crowd attended Friday's Tarrant Appraisal District Board of Directors meeting to support Crouch and hear what actions the board would take against Residential Appraisals Director, this is one of the senior people, Randy Armstrong, and his boss, Chief Appraiser Jeff Law. "I filed over 90,000 protests," Crouch said Friday. "The way I see it, all you have to do is get very effective at protesting, and Randy Armstrong is going to come after you." And he has no business doing that. His job as a government functionary is just to follow the letter of the law and the rules and get it done. But no, he didn't. Last year, this Armstrong, Randy Armstrong, who's the director of residential appraisals there at Tarrant County Appraisal District, he filed 4 complaints against Crouch with the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, accusing Crouch of making, quote, "a mockery of the current tax system," end quote, as if that's a law, against the law. You see the arrogance here? Armstrong's complaints are made using his official title and taxpayer-funded resources, but Law, the chief appraiser, told Crouch in November the complaints were not authorized by the Tarrant Appraisal District. Law, the chief appraiser, later claimed he believed Armstrong had filed the complaints against Crouch on his own initiative and time. That proved to be wrong. Crouch tried to resolve the issue directly with Law, you know, on the down low, properly and professionally, but without success. He then confronted the board about the conflict of interest at TAD's June 10th board meeting, which we reported on here. After a public information request in May by the Texas Scorecard revealed Armstrong targeted Crouch using official resources. At an emergency board meeting on June 30th, where hundreds of protesters lined up to call for Law and Armstrong to be fired, folks, they went out, they tried to get this guy out of his paying business to get him where he can't do it with the Department of Licensing and Regulation. They tried to ruin the man's business simply, not because he did anything wrong, but simply because he's been successfully filing lots and lots of protests, and he does it free. So, TAD officials at that meeting said they would conduct an internal investigation and provide an update at the August meeting. So then the original August 12th agenda failed to mention the scandal, so it wasn't on the agenda. So Crouch alerted citizens on August 10th the appraisal district wasn't going to do what they said they would. TAD posted a revised agenda. They felt the heat that included discussion and possible action on Armstrong and Law. Citizens, including Crouch, showed up Friday expecting transparency, accountability, and action. Just the day before, Crouch was vindicated when the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation closed the case initiated, all the cases initiated by Armstrong's complaint, saying there wasn't sufficient evidence of any violation. TDLR has cleared me off all allegations, Crouch said. It's been a complete witch hunt. Whether or not Armstrong's complaints against Crouch were retaliatory, it was clear from the evidence that he misused his government title, resources, and authority to target a private citizen. That part's not even in dispute. Randy Armstrong's gone into another entity for data without going through the proper channels, he added. This is Crouch when he addressed the board referring to Armstrong's records Armstrong obtained using his position with the appraisal district, not via a public information request. But then the district, of course, hired an attorney that they paid that gave them the report they wanted that said, oh, yeah, you probably shouldn't have done it. But all this was really using the taxpayer resources to go after this private citizen was, quote, appropriate given the totality of the circumstances and the overall duties of the director. It's crazy. And that's just trash. That's an internally generated report by the big chiefs to keep their jobs. Based on the reviewer's conclusions, though, Armstrong and Law were suspended rather than fired. As Armstrong's supervisor, Law decided the director's punishment, suspension for an unspecified time period. The board then voted on the chief appraiser, Law's punishment, a 2-week suspension without pay starting today, and director Rich DeOtt was the lone no vote against suspension. He wanted the board to fire Law, the head guy, and he's right. The story in the scorecard says, meanwhile, a group of local government officials representing taxing entities within Tarrant County, along with members of the press, have filed a complaint with the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation against Law and Armstrong, the two guys at the appraisal district. Under the Texas tax code, local taxing entities appoint appraisal district directors to serve 2-year terms. The board consists of 5 directors and the county assessor collector, who's not a voting member, and the board hires the chief appraiser. Tarrant Appraisal District directors, they list them here, and I'm not going to do that for everybody here. You can see the piece at the scorecard. And they're trying to get people to put pressure on them. But in Friday's meeting, 2 citizen journalists, Matthew Mata and Thomas Torlinkasi were forcibly ejected from the building by the sheriff's officers at the request of the employee there, communications consultant of the appraisal district, Ricardo Aguilera. What authority does he have? Citizens and members of the press were previously locked out of the June 30 meeting by Aguilera and sheriff's office, which experts have looked at and called it to be a Texas Open Meetings Act violation. Look, Crouch said this whole situation was not easy for anyone involved. I wish it never would have happened. I did everything I could to avoid it. And that's true. We know from previous reports he tried to do all this on the down low. Just, what's this guy going after me for? What's going, you know, they didn't care. Look, they don't work for us anymore. This is the problem at so many government agencies now. You're the little person, and that we've become one of those status-type countries like France and Spain and all of their leftover colonies where you got to go bow down to the, you know, to the officious government clerk for everything. That's not the American experience. But this Tarrant County debacle shows the utter arrogance and how the board, there's no, hardly one board member has any basic American civics ethics that the guy ought to be fired for letting all this happen. The chief and his deputy there that were involved in, nobody else can. It's all, hey, we're one big little club. We got to protect everybody. Where does that come from? That's not public service. That's not civics. That's not ethics in public service. And we see this all the time. These cadre of people at City Hall, you get a new city councilman that asks questions. That's his job. He was elected. Ask questions. They do everything they can to thwart and freeze out these people. That's not public service anymore, folks. It's public feeding. Public feeding at the trough where they've now jacked up the salaries of administrators and everybody else way above, generally, way above the private sector instead of the other way around, and they're feeding off you and me. Back in a moment.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
Ransomware or a virus can completely shut down your business. But with managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Service, you can have the assurance of the world's best virus protection and do so without bloated software that slows your workstations. Jeff Barker Computer Service keeps your machines protected and is there to help if something goes wrong. Get the best, most efficient virus protection from Jeff Barker Computer Service. Visit jbcs.com, jbcs.com, to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you.
Hey now, I'm Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers. Have you ever thought about incorporating a shipping container into a new barn or shop like the one we have here at Campbell Containers? Or maybe you just need some extra storage space at your home, farm, or deer lease. Stop by Campbell Containers and look at our inventory. We're on I-20 between Abilene and Clyde at the exit 297, or give me a call, 325-518-3309, or check us out at campbellcontainers.com.
Customers have said they are the best dock builders in the business. They identify with particular needs and goals and get the job done well. It's Elite Custom Boat Docks, owners of the coolest, most functional boat docks, are talking about. Elite Custom Boat Docks builds the best docks custom for your boat and water toys. And Elite Custom Boat Docks installs boat lifts and can remove your old dock. Own the best, the coolest, the neatest dock on the lake or pond with EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. That's EliteCustomBoatDocks.com.
Now, a man who understands that elected officials work for us. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. It is indeed Defeat Liz Cheney Day in Wyoming, sitting in the seat her father once held as congressman from Wyoming. You know, she hauled in almost $1 million, 950 grand, I think, from Texans. The maximum, of course, it's a federal campaign, so from individuals, the maximum's only $2,900. But George W. Bush, former U.S. Commerce Secretary Donald Evans, and Karl Rove are among the many that gave her the allowable maximum. You have some energy industry people who did, and that's, you know, piece by Jeremy Wallace in the Chronicle today reporting that. She's got $1 million from Texas donors. It's far more than she raised from the residents of Wyoming or from any other state except California, where she's raised $1.4 million. And they talk about in this piece, if Cheney regrets being so aggressive against Trump, she isn't showing it. Just last week, she released an ad with Dick Cheney blasting Trump. In our nation's 246-year history, there's never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump, Dick Cheney said in the ad for his daughter. Now, that's hyperbole in the extreme. So you understand where these insider establishment people are. Trump is more dangerous, even after we've had him for 4 years and know what he accomplished. So many things, or a lot didn't get done that I'm mad about, and some of the things he stood for were utterly bad, but nevertheless, he accomplished a lot. So you've had him, he was there for a whole term, and yet you call him the most dangerous? What did he do to harm the country? Last I looked, everything was a lot better. Almost everything, and including the world geopolitical thing that these insiders think they're the only ones that can manage. Soon as he leaves, and of course, he's more dangerous than Barack Obama. There was a really good piece by Chilton Williamson Jr. at Spectator World a few days ago. The last ditch attempt to rescue Liz Cheney. And I'm not just getting down into it. He's talking about all the problems. She can't raise money there. Everybody's against her, and the polling's awful. Says, still, Cheney continues to fight hard for something. The question is, what? And that is the important thing. Says, our campaign recently released an ad featuring her father, the former VP and Secretary of War. Both Cheneys believe in getting ahead of defense. Glowering from beneath the brim of his Stetson as he announced Donald Trump as a coward and the greatest threat to the American Republic in 246 years. By the way, Cheney's own president wouldn't pardon Scooter Libby, W didn't, his own chief of staff, who was railroaded into an absolute ridiculous conviction. Donald Trump had the guts to stand up and pardon Scooter Libby despite the bad press, and yet Cheney calls him a coward. Tells you a lot about how you can't trust Dick Cheney anymore either. Cheney praises his, I love how this is written, says, Cheney Sr. then praises his daughter for standing up to man more than standing up to the man more monstrous than Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Putin, Xi, and Pat Buchanan. A woman like that should be auditioning for a role on Game of Thrones, not the privilege of representing 97,914 miles of sagebrush, alkali, granite, and ice inhabited by 581,853 pedigreed descendants of Fred and Wilma Flintstone. But Liz Cheney is cannier than she appears. She would find it very difficult, she announced the other day, to support Governor DeSantis of Florida because he's too close in his thinking to Trump. In fact, Liz Cheney's problem with the GOP runs much deeper than Trump. The party, she went on to explain, is, quote, very sick, end quote, and may need several more cycles to heal itself. Talking about election cycles. Cheney, then, is not running primarily to get herself reelected in Wyoming. She's running to save the Republican Party. And after that, well, should destiny call, the party poobahs know where to find her. Not in Wyoming, of course. The question is, what does she see herself saving the GOP for? The old establishment party as it existed before Trump? Or something new beyond Trump and his imitators and the Cheney Bush establishment? He talks about when she looks ahead to the Republican Party of the future, she can see only the party of the past redo, her father's GOP. That party, it is clear to most everyone except the Cheneys, is as dead as Roosevelt's Bull Moose Party. Most of its luminaries are in the are in retirement or defunct. And there's a lot in this piece. I just gave you some highlights, and it's the piece by Chilton Williamson Jr. What is, you know, these people are saying, well, we've got to save the party. For what? What's your view of it? They don't tell us. What it is they just want it to be the old insider establishment crowd where they called the shots, and that's it. And I think that's pretty much normal. He did add one other piece in that I want to share with you. He said, there's one other political interest, however, that Liz Cheney's fighting for. It's the Democratic one, the party, that wishes to ensure Trump's political ruination and humiliation while securing their own very personal revenge against the ogre from Mar-a-Lago. These are the liberals from all over the country, California mostly, whose contributions to her campaign exceeded by far the donations from citizens of Wyoming, 99.9% of whom have infinitely less to spend than they do. That's right. And that's who she's really standing up for. By the way, Dallas Morning News reported last week, they were kind of bothered by it, that her good friend, former state senator, represented Wichita Falls, then Pat Fallon, then, of course, went to Congress, He told them in Rockwell last week that he's headed to Wyoming to knock doors against Liz Cheney. Turns out there's been several other Texas Congress people who've just had enough of that stuff and have gone up there. Good for Pat Fallon. Bexar County, San Antonio, Bexar County's GOP is having their big precinct convention or precinct meeting, executive committee meeting tonight at 6. They've got on the agenda doing one of these censures under the party rule of new Congressman Tony Gonzalez of the 23rd Congressional District. He was voted for that. Some of that, it says in this piece, Gonzalez and Senator Cornyn, who helped craft the gun safety bill, were the only two Texas Republicans to support it. Reading a piece by Andrea Drush at San Antonio Report. He's running for re-election against Democrat John Lira, as well as conservative independent candidate, former Val Verde County Republican Chairman Frank Lopez Jr. And one of the things he's crossways with Tony Gonzalez is they had a big race for county chairman in Bexar County, and he campaigned against the new party chairman, Jeff McManus, who unseated John Austin in a runoff earlier this year. So there's already some bad blood there. But it is true, he and Cornyn were the only ones to vote for that deal because it wasn't a gun safety bill. It was just given in to the left on stuff. We'll see where that goes. I'm not sure this is a good time to do that when you've got a credible election in what's a swing district that's been drawn just a little bit in redistricting to be safer, but you've got a known Republican running as an independent who could be a vote stealer there. And Gonzalez shouldn't have voted. He also voted to protect homosexual so-called marriage and stuff. So there's some people mad at him. We'll see. It's an interesting thing to see happen right on the eve of an election in a seat that they could actually, that the GOP could lose. It's not a safe seat. There's a bunch of stories out there on that UT Tyler Dallas Morning News poll. I told you it's not that great a poll. They're all excited because the attorney general's in a dead heat with, quote, surging Democratic challenger. That was the words used in a Hearst headline. 34 for Paxson, 32 for Garza, and it goes down in the story. They write all about it, Michael Murney at the Houston Chronicle. And then the beginning of the penultimate paragraph, the impetus behind the attorney general's bleeding support remains unknown. Well, let me tell you, he hadn't bled any support. It's that poll. I told you that poll's not that good a poll. And following up on some of that polling on that same poll I talked about yesterday, Jim Garrity at National Review had a short piece. No, Beto O'Rourke isn't beating Greg Abbott. And he points out, despite Democratic arguments that the Uvalde mass shooting, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and other issues have changed the dynamics, Texas is still a Republican-leaning state in a year that's likely to be good for GOP candidates, not bad. And again, that's not a very good poll. Thanks for joining us. Long live Liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Thank you for the rain you've sent, Lord. Please send more where it's needed. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.